The alarm was set March 28th. The flat season in Britain has arrived. Yes, welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet for, like I say, the opening of the British flat turf season at Doncaster. We also have some all-weather action at Kempton as well. Really looking forward to getting stuck into that alongside a stellar panel, as always, here on the Racing Postcast. We've got Graham Robway and Johnny Pearson from the Racing Post. And as always, from Unibet, we have Ed Nicholson. But before we get into the racing, gents, great to have you on board. Kempton last night, we are going to be previewing Kempton on this show, but Kempton last night, Constitution Hill, second run on the flat. Very different style of race than what he ran in last time at Savile, but still got the job done. Impressive sectionals in the final furlong, really was. And I was there at Kempton. The crowd wasn't quite the same as Savile, but it was still a fair crowd for a Kempton Wednesday night. Graham Robway, what were your opinions on Constitution Hill's performance? And, you know, how good could this horse be on the flat?
I think he could be very good, Sam. Yeah, I think he's definitely borderline Group 2, Group 3 sort of level, around about that. I don't think he's sadly going to quite be good enough to win a Group 1, but I think maybe if he'd been on the flat 4 or 5 years ago when he was at his absolute prime, he would have been a Group 1 horse, looking at what he's doing now at the age of 9. And he showed plenty of zip, didn't he, last night at Kempton in a slowly run race to come through and win quite cosily in the end. It wasn't as spectacular as he was at Savile, but that's a more galloping track and it was a truly run race. So it wasn't the easiest race to look good in, but nevertheless, he did it well, and it's going to be fascinating to see what he can do this season on the flat. It's going to bring a real extra edge to the flat season. Not that we need one, of course, because it's great to have the flat back anyway, Sam.
Absolutely. I'm glad that I'm back on the Postcast at a real convenient time for me with the flat season back. Johnny, like I say, and Graham said, it was a very different style of race, and likely the John Porter will be next on April 18th. We'd love to see him there on a big Saturday, but it was just that turn of foot that, you know, at Savile we did see it, but we saw more off a slowly run race what he can actually do with that burn up.
Yeah, I mean, he won as he was entitled to do so. You know, the odds of starting price of 1-7 says just as much as that. It was a slowly run race, and to be completely honest to me, it felt what, like one of those jumpers bumpers they put on when all the racing's called off in the winter. Like, it's really good to see him running and see him winning, but I'd be lying if I said I was really blown away by it. He did what he was expected to do, and I don't feel we learned a huge amount. You know, he showed he's got a turn of foot, but he's got a lot more to prove for me to be thinking, oh, he might win a Group 1.
Absolutely. And Ed, Nicky Henderson, again, very emotional after the performance, seeing the crowd cheer this horse home. And it was a fair crowd, I have to say. I think it was just shy of 2,000 there at Kempton last night. Newbury probably licking their lips for a big Saturday and seeing this horse potentially performing on their card.
Yeah, great to see the crowd turn up. I spoke to Simon Durant, who's the general manager at Kempton. He was delighted, the figure of the crowd, about 3 or 4 times bigger than it normally is. And he asked if I could have a word with Nicky just to see if he could bring him to every Monday and Wednesday race meeting at Kempton for the foreseeable future. And Hughie Morrison actually quipped to hit Nicky as he came into the owners and trainers, saying, "You should be on commission, Nicky," because he certainly does boost the crowd. And it was great to see. And the Racing Post wrote some good comments up from the crowd. It was really interesting to hear how far they'd come to watch him. And he is a real superstar. As to what he had achieved on the course, probably not as much or just a little bit better than Savile, possibly. Ashim Murphy was my guest at the Unibet Champion Hurdle, and I actually did ask him about what kind of feel he gave him when he won on him at Savile. I specifically asked him, is he a group horse? And Ashim Murphy just said yes. And if it was him, it'd be on distances shorter than 2 miles. So it'll be interesting to see what Ryan Moore says, because I think that's one of the reasons why they asked him to ride him, to find out what he thinks. But yeah, 2 runs down. They've got to get that third run just to see if he isn't a group horse, then he'll be running in a top handicap. So he needs the 3 runs and he needs to do it soon because he won't be running on fast ground. So they've planned his career quite well at the age of 9, albeit at 9, but he does look a really good horse for the flat for the season.
Yeah, really, really exciting. Let us know down in the comments what you think. Ryan Moore said, you know, 4 will probably be the best distance to keep him at for now. But yeah, let us know in the comments what you think. Right, gents, like I say, we've got some great racing to preview. 5 races from Doncaster, 3 from Kempton. Let's start off at Doncaster with the opening race. And we're here with not too much form to go on in the Brocklesby Stakes, the Bill Turner, in memory of Bill Turner, the Brocklesby Stakes this year, which is great to see. 120 there, 5 furlongs, 2-year-olds are out. Blixen Force has been installed by Unibet as the 15-8 favourite for the race. And by Persian Force, who won this race a few years back. Graham Robbie, is there much to say on this year's Brocklesby? I know it's a race that we might not cover for too long compared to the rest, but anything to say on the Brocklesby this year?
It's always a fascinating race, isn't it? A few years ago, Persian Force won it, and he's got a couple of his progeny towards the head of market, aren't they? The two ammo horses, Blixen Force and Ocean Club. And they also had Salt Lake in the race earlier in the week when the ammo and Robson de Aguilar, the trainer, had three entered. I actually backed Salt Lake anti-post, and he's the only one that hasn't been declared. So I've already started off on a loser, unfortunately, Sam. Funnily enough, Rowan Scott was booked up on all three earlier in the week, and he's taking the ride on Blixen Force. That's the one that the money's come from, and he looks like the one that's going to be the one to beat. Funnily enough, the betting, unsurprisingly, has been quite a good pointer to the winners of this race in the last 10 years. I think 7 or 8 of them have all been single figures with 3 favourites. So I don't think you'll go too far wrong following the market here, Sam, and Blixen Force is the one the market's come for.
Yep, completely agree. I think the favourite will just go and win this. And I think Ammo Racing will probably make this their race in future years as well, that they want to just constantly keep going and winning and potentially send a horse like this to a Coventry Stakes and have a horse like that running there. Johnny Pearson, any real opinion on this market?
To say I've got a strong opinion on the race would be complete madness. But I was interested in, Adam Kirby's had a few runners now, not many. He's had a winner. I think his 2-year-old's potentially interesting. It's on pedigree. They get a lot of the dam has a lot of sort of early season 2-year-old types. So it would be no surprise if he was sort of up, fit and ready to run here. But I don't think the chance of them being stallions down the line is a bit slim. But I could see him running a good race.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Adam Kirby. Yeah, his retirement actually from the saddle came a bit under the radar, to be fair, didn't it, Adam Kirby? Yeah. He's obviously had a good start to his training career. And Ed, we spoke off air just quickly. You probably want to give a bit of a mention to the fact that this is in memory of Bill Turner.
Yeah, I'd like to say well done to the sponsors. I know how difficult it can be to change a race title close to the race. And I know that after a lot of publicity on social media, that the sponsors very kindly have named this race in honour of Bill Turner, which I think is a marvellous thing to do. Bill won this race 6 times and had plenty of other horses hit the frame as well. And it was a race that he really loved to target. Not one of the biggest names in the world of racing, Bill Turner, but much loved. Died last year, actually died the day I was at Chepstow, and Cathy Turner, his daughter, had a horse running that day, and they mentioned the Brocklesby and how nice it would be to have a name, to race named after him, and it has happened, and it's just great that Cathy Turner's got a horse in the race. So good luck to Cathy Turner, Never Not Remember You, which is a nice title for a horse given the race title and given the situation. So good luck to the Turners, and hopefully we can remember Bill before the start of the race.
Yeah, it'd be really nice. And yeah, if you do fancy the Cathy Turner horse, currently 28-1 with Unibet. And Cathy Turner's horse is always so well turned out. The one at Kempton last night, Glitter on the backside of the horse, looked absolutely fantastic in the parade ring at Kempton. It was great to see her there yesterday evening. Right, gents, let's get into some of the stuff where we can give a bit of a form guide to our audience here. The 150 is the Cambridge Trophy Stakes, the listed contest over 6 furlongs, and currently Unibet have the 7-2 favourite as Montasip, who won this race a couple of years ago. You've got last year's winner Spycatcher 4-1, Jasaw 6-1, James's Delights 13-2, along with my mate Alfie 9-1 about Anaf, and then double figures the rest. Like I say, we've got the last two winners of this race, Johnny Pearson. I actually kind of think it might be between the two of them.
Yeah, you're not wrong there, Sam. I think Spycatcher, last year's winner, is the one that I'd want to be on here. He won the race last year off a mark of 111, which is the mark he's off today, or on Saturday even. And that was at Doncaster, over 6 furlongs. His final run of the season came on heavy ground at Doncaster, over 6 furlongs, and he was quite an impressive winner that day. And he's only gone up £1 for it. And there's no reason. He clearly goes very well fresh. He loves the 6 furlongs at Doncaster. Won the race last year. There's very little downside to him. I mean, he's an 8-year-old, but these sprinters can keep going until they're 9, 10, 11. So there's no reason to factor in age. Well, you factor in age, but not too much for a sprinter, I don't find. And I'd like to see Spycatcher win this, and I think he can.
Okay, yeah, I can see it. I complete agreement. I think Spycatcher might be the one. And Ed, I do think that Spycatcher will end up probably going off favourite.
Yeah, I think the top two in the market are the ones you need to concentrate on. I would say, though, Sam, this is notoriously bad meeting for me. Last week, I thought we were going to have a fantastic week, and we did. We should mention that between us, we tipped 7 of the 10 ITV race winners, so we had a very good day. There's a lot of horses coming back, making their seasonal debuts against race fit or weather horses, so it is quite difficult. So the kind of angle I'm looking at is horses that have run well fresh before or have targeted this meeting in the past. And Spycatcher is one of those horses that Johnny mentioned, just does run really well fresh. I had a look at his record after a long break. I think his long break being 64 days or more. His form figures are 1-1-1-3-1. He does like a break, a bit like myself. But he comes back fighting fit after that break. And Spycatcher will like the ground. He's 2 from 4 at Doncaster. Carl Burke's horse is remaining in good form. I think there's a lot to like about him. So Spycatcher's my selection, like Johnny. And this race is money back second or third. Just to remind everyone, we are offering special offers on every one but one ITV race this weekend. I should have mentioned in the Brocklesby, we're actually going an extra place, which is unusual for a two-year-old race, but an extra place in the Brocklesby. And as I say, money back second or third in this contest.
There you go. Yeah, do head to unibet.co.uk for all of the details there. Terms and conditions will apply. And Graham Robway, you know I love to do it when I'm on the show. Are we going to get a hat-trick horse here? Is Spycatcher the hat-trick horse this weekend?
He's the most solid in the race. But
The answer's no.
It's a bit of a rogues gallery, isn't it? I look at this race and it's just like, I know he's won a Group 1, but old Montasib, you know, and old Jassor turns up, you know, runs on strongly all the time. And Mitt Bahi, you know, another real old favourite who flies home. Anaf, you can just reel them off. I backed a Ram Ram at a big price. Now, he was banging his head against the brick wall against some of the best handicappers around last season in sprint races. He twice finished second behind More Thunder. At Newmarket, I think it was. He finally got reward for all his consistent efforts when winning at Ascot at the end of last season. He's got course form. He's a course and distance winner. And Richard Hannon's won this race and had one other placed in the last 10 seasons from just 2 runners in it. So at a big price, I'm going to take a chance on a Ram-Ram. But nothing would surprise me in this race, Sam.
Okay, yeah, no, it could be a weekend where you do get some big prices. It does happen at this meeting at the start of the season, so do remember that. 12-1 a Ram Ram currently. Remember, money back second or third with Unibet, so it could be a nice little win bet on a Ram Ram this weekend. Right, we move on now to the 2:25. This is the Spring Mile. This is the what's considered the consolation for the Lincoln itself in some ways. And Mexgala is the 9-2 favourite currently for the Shannon Yard. Desperate Dan, 7-1. Caron is 8-1. Lear Special, 17-2. 10-1. About Classic Encounter, 12-1. And bigger the rest of the field here. And I'll tell you what, Ed Nixon, I'm going to come to you first here because I'm hoping in these two big handicaps we get an extra place.
Yeah, we've got an extra place in this race. And spoiler alert, we've got 2 extra places in the Lincoln. But this race, an extra place, and you need it. I thought this was a really difficult race. Once again, just going back to what I said, I'm looking for a horse that's kind of got a bit of a fitness advantage, possibly having run already this season. So I'm going for Caron, who I actually watched him over in Maidan because I fancied him for a maiden handicap, believe it or not, and he didn't win. But then he came back over here and won up at Newcastle, I think, just getting home. But he looked like he was going to win, and then he battled quite well. Maybe he is at the top end of his handicap potential, but he has got a £5 penalty, which is negated by Jack Callan's £5 claim. So George Bowie, very, very good trainer, as we know. So Caron's obviously well thought of at the stable, having gone there, because he's been favourite, I think, in the last 4 or 5 runs. And he's obviously a horse they think can improve, having gone out to contest some of those maiden handicaps. So I'm just going to take a chance, and it is a chance. It's a low staking bet for me. But Caron, given the fitness advantage, to win the Spring Mile.
Yeah, Caron and Jack Callan's on board this horse, so I think he's certainly a jockey to watch out for with that £5 claim throughout the whole of this flat season in big handicaps. I think he's a real talent in the saddle. Graham Robway here. We've got extra places on offer. Is there a big price in this race here?
There is one, right, but it's just literally hit me about 10 minutes ago. But so I won't tip it because I've already backed Desperate Dan for the race, and he's my number one selection. I backed him earlier in the week. He's got the course form that I liked there last year, won there in a good time over the course and distance when he was last seen. This will almost certainly have been the target since. He wasn't rated high enough to get in the Lincoln, obviously. Peter Chapelheim's booked Neil Callan to ride. So that's my main one. However, right, I've just... sometimes you scroll through a race, don't you, and something jumps out at you, and often they're the best bets. End up being the best bets. I've just seen that Vincent Rox is in this race. He's a big old price, and I love Hugo Palmer's runners fresh. Hugo Palmer always has his horses really well fit first time up, and he's actually had four runners in this race in the last two, in the last 10 years. Two of them were placed. And Vincent Rox went off favourite for quite a hot race at Newbury when he was last seen last September, finished well beaten after coming into it with two good runs behind him. I will definitely be having a bit on Vincent Rox at a big price, but I've already backed Desperate Dan and I'm not changing my mind.
Okay, yeah, Vincent Rox is a fair price. Yeah, around 20-1. Actually, a little bit of money come for this horse, but Desperate Dan's going to be the number one selection. If one person fancies the son, then the other can fancy their dad. Neil Callan on board that one for Graham Robway. Johnny Pearson, we're not going to get that typical group horse in a handicap with the Spring Mile, are we? But who did you fancy in this?
Well, I mean, it's, as Ed rightly said, it looks a particularly difficult race. And I know we've got a George Bowes stable tour in the works, and he's definitely highlighted Jack Callan as a name to follow this season. So definitely the jockey book in there must be eye-catching. But I thought, well, it's been such a difficult race, I thought, right, let's have a look elsewhere. I've landed on Ed Dunlop's Pressures On. Machine Oars taking the ride. He's run twice at Wolverhampton now, so he'll be, and he's run pretty well. Still off the mark of 79, despite coming second on both those runs. He should be fit and ready. The extra step up and a furlong to the mile should really suit him here. And I think he's a good bet. He'll go well on soft ground. He goes well. I mean, I know he's not fresh, but he does go well fresh. He's warmed up. And what looks a pretty difficult race, the horse is going to turn up. You know they're fit. On ground, there's not going to be a problem. I think sort of a double-figure price is a pretty good bet here.
Okay, so three solid selections there in the Spring Mile. I didn't expect that. I thought there would be a few edgy ones, but there's some three solid horses in there that are certainly worth looking out for, and like I say, extra places as well with Unibet for this one. Now, a race I'm really looking forward to, and some might call it a bad race, but I actually think it looks like a little bit of a cracker, this, the Doncaster Mile Stakes. A listed race, 257 there, and Docklands is currently the 5-4 favourite with Jamie Spencer on board for Harry Eustace. Kirat 7-2, Volterra 9-2, Treble T 6-1, and Excellent Believe is 13-2. I actually do think this is a fair little race to start the season. I'm quite happy with it, to be fair, looking at this. And I must mention that myself and Graham Robway are heading up to Doncaster this weekend for the Lincoln meeting as well for the first time. So really looking forward to that. But I think Docklands is a really, really good bet. I think he'll just go and win this, to be totally honest. I don't know about you, Graham Robway, but this horse was meant to go out to Dubai. I think he's going to be as fit as a flea. I don't think Kirat probably deserves to be second in the market, to be honest. I think Volterra should potentially be the second in the market. I think Kirat was obviously lucky to win a Group 1 last season. But yeah, I just think that Docklands will just go and win this. What's your view?
Don't fancy him at all. I think that he's going to get beaten. I mean, if I could have dreamt up a race as a punter, then one with Docklands, a red-hot favourite as a short price, away from Ascot, which is where he runs all of his best races, and his main danger, Kirat, one of the luckiest Group 1 winners of all time. I mean, it's a dream, isn't it, as a punter? You come into this race, you think you've been given a gift. You're just like, wow, that those two just make the market. Treble T is the bet, I think, Sam. He was impressive when he won a handicap over course and distance last season. Simon and Ed Crispin have got a really good record at Doncaster in general. They're absolutely flying form at the moment. And I don't think that Treble T's got all that much to find on form with the best of these at a track that we know he likes. I think that Docklands will almost certainly have bigger targets to come. Obviously, he's got the race at Ascot that he always turns up for every year. Kirat, obviously, this is just a starting point for him. It's a great bet. Love this race. It's a punter's dream. Treble T.
Okay, Ed. there's me really thinking that Docklands is a great bet in this, thinking he'll just go and win it. I've just been told it's not. Graham, just so you know, I don't know. Well, I'll probably end up watching this race somewhere else away from you for this race, to be honest, because I think Docklands will just go and win it. So what was your view, Ed?
Well, funny enough, I think you're both right. But I think Graham's more right. I'll explain what I mean. If you're a punter and you're looking at this race and you're looking at the form, Docklands is your bet. You can't believe you're getting 5-4, 6-4. Yeah. Right. However, if you go into the form and you look at the horse, Docklands, and you look at what is his optimum distance, what is his optimum kind of race, style of running, where will he be running his best race in terms of the season? It's a lay. It really is, because I concur with mostly what Graham said. He wants a straight, fast run mile. It's very unlikely he'll get a fast run mile with lots of runners. He's a horse that you can't trust implicitly, I don't think, in that he's finished second 5 times, third a few times. For such a good horse, who incidentally has run in 7 consecutive Group 1s, he's got a very poor win-to-run ratio. He's only ever won 3 times. He will be running in that trial race for the Queen Anne at Ascot, and then he will run in the Queen Anne. Those will be his kind of early season targets. So he won't be 100% right. And, you know, they'll look after the horse with that in mind. He's getting on a bit as well in terms of age, relatively speaking, compared to the rest of his competitors. He's the oldest in the race. So I can see a lot of bookmakers trying to get him here. He should win. He should win on every bit of form. He should win. But the way the race is going to run, the fact it's the 28th of March, the fact he's got 2 or 3 big events to come, is worth taking on at the price. If he was 5-1, 4-1, 3-1, then yes, you'd back him. But 5-4, no. Kirat won the Sussex Stakes at 150-1. I think he'll probably make the running, but won't go flat out. And he could just make it, so he wins the race. But I'm with Graham. I'd be looking at perming the other three at the best odds I could get. So my bet in this race is to be against the top two in the market, just the same as Graham.
Okay. Well, this is interesting, isn't it? So I'm firmly with Docklands, Johnny. Graham's firmly against it. And Ed's probably annoying the neighbours by sitting on the fence slightly. Come on. Who's right? Who's wrong?
I mean, Docklands is a fortunate Group 1 winner. Kirat, also a fortunate Group 1 winner. Volterra, he's all right, but not good enough. I don't think Treble T is good enough. Excellent Believe is the one. His last 2 runs, finished second both times. Zeus Olympus has won all his races. The form in France last time is pretty decent as well. It's the one, I mean, Docklands might be good enough. Like, the others have got to step up in grade. Docklands has been running well in Group 1 contests. There's no denying that. But he doesn't like winning. And the race at Ascot in the summer was very slowly run, actually. He got a bit lucky to win that. And he's the type of horse that will only win when literally every possible scenario goes his way. And I think Kirat, again, I mean, they both beat Rosalian by a neck, which is unfortunate for Rosalian last season, to be honest. But I don't think, I mean, they might win because in theory they are better and the others need to improve. But I think the Jack Shannon horse is the most likely to improve past them here. If one does, I wouldn't want to back Docklands or Kirat. Can't try, but it's, I think, at each way price, or each way place, Excellent Leaves a good shout to finish in two.
Sam, I'm not sitting on the fence, just the record. I think Docklands is the best horse in the race, but I don't think he'll win this race. I really don't think he'll win.
They were targeting Dubai. I just think they had this horse as ready as he can be, and they're going here in what's going to be a much easier race. I think he'd be as fit as a flea, and I think this is the race that he's just going to go and win. I get the fact that there might be bigger targets down the line, but I generally think he'd be fit as a flea, and Graham Robway, I'll be stood next to you, smug as anything, when he wins by about 7 legs. So there you go. That's the way the race is going to be. Right, let's leave it there. We'll let the viewers decide in the comments who they think's actually going to go and win that. But yeah, okay. Let's go to the Lincoln then. This is the big highlight on the card, the 1 mile handicap there. A great way to start the season at just after 3:32 at Doncaster. And Labotte is the 100-30 favourite. Who would have guessed that? Eternal Force is 4-1. Rogue Diplomat is 17-2. Shout is 9-1. Botanical and Anno Domini are 12-1, along with Galleron, actually, who's been well supported. Urban Lion 14s, Valvano 14s, Tribal Chief 14s, 20s. And bigger, the rest of them. have to say fair play to Robbie Wilders in his anti-post emails. If you're not a follower of the anti-post, he tipped this horse up at 14-1 a few weeks back for the Lincoln, ran in the Lincoln trial. Me and him both called what was going to happen. We said that the horse would end up being put out of the back, finish well on the bend, and then would end up possibly going off short price for a Lincoln. And that's exactly what's happened here. The one worry is, Graham Robway, we could end up getting Spencered here. You could end up having a horse out the back, finishing strong. He looks like the winner and doesn't quite get there in time. What is your makings of this hot favourite for a Lincoln handicap?
One of my favourite horses in training, Labotte. Despite the fact that last season, when I was absolutely certain he would win at Ascot, unfortunately, it was a one ride where Spencer didn't quite get everything right, and he somehow managed to get beat on Labotte. But no doubt about it, he is a group horse in a handicap, and yeah, it would be no surprise at all if he turned up in the Queen Anne Stakes in a couple of months' time against Docklands, who's running in a previous race, with a massive, massive chance. The worry is that the price is now ridiculously short, isn't it? And fair play to Robbie and anyone who got on, anyone who's listening who got on at big prices at your post, great stuff. And he was a monster eye catcher at Wolverhampton, should have won. He was coming from an impossible position. But there's a few things that will make me want to take him on. Obviously, he's a very, very short price. The handicapper already knows that he's going to be a group horse. I mean, he's not thrown in, is he? He's off a mark of 104. He's carrying 9 stone 12 in a Lincoln. You know, so he's not thrown in. And the bookmakers already know that he's a Group 1 horse. And as a result, I just will be taking him on. One other thing in the back of my mind is that his best runs are all over at Ascot or on sand.
Yeah.
He's got loads of all-weather form. And Ascot, obviously, is a sand-based surface. And this is a different sort of track as well. So I'm against Labotte. I've backed Rogue Diplomat, James Owens' runner, who keeps winning by very small margins. And when I watch his races, he just looks to me like he only does just enough. He's got 2 course wins behind him over 7 furlongs. He was only gone up £3 for his last win. And if he is only doing just enough, he might just be too well handicapped for Labotte. But I really do love Labotte as a horse, and I can't wait to see him go on to be a group performer later in the year. I actually would rather back him for the Queen Anne in June than back him for this handicap, because I just think he's a really good horse on sand-based surfaces at Ascot. Harry Eustace has got a great record at Royal Ascot. That might be his race.
I can see it. I can see it. I genuinely can. And I think Docklands will have his weekend this weekend. And I actually think this horse might be the Queen Anne horse for the Eustace Stables. We'll wait and see. Ed, you're probably going to have an offer in this race. You've already mentioned 2 extra places here. What did we make of this? And your traders must have taken some money on Labotte.
Yeah, I mean, relatively short price here, isn't he? Reminds me of the short price good things of many years back, Auxerre and Adayeb and those type of horses who were like Labotte 4-year-olds and lightly raced 4-year-olds. He's certainly better than his handicap mark, that's for sure. I just think the run at Wolverhampton was probably, it looked better than it was because they went really hard up front and it probably suited horses that were held up. He did go wide. He did run on well. I watched the race 3 or 4 times this morning. And yeah, you can't help but be impressed. It was definitely an eye catcher, as put in the Racing Post notes. But maybe, just maybe, it was just a little bit, it looked a bit better than it was because he was coming off a strong pace and he hadn't travelled in the early part of the race. A lot of horses were being pushed along as they came into the straight at Wolverhampton. And when we discussed that race at Wolverhampton, the trial race, we actually mentioned that not many horses in that race will probably be running in the Lincoln or win the Lincoln. So it's quite, because it's a different race title. Look, going back to Docklands, it's a different kind of race, this race, compared to that Wolverhampton race around a tight track like Wolverhampton. So I think, although undoubtedly he'll win off this mark or higher in the future, Maybe worth taking on in the Lincoln first time out for many of the other horses at 3-1. And I really haven't got a strong fancy, but I'm a big William Haggis fan, as I'm sure most people are. He's won this race, what, four times in the last 17, including last year. He's got a four-year-old with 9 stone 4, which is what he's done before. And Eternal Force has looked a different horse since being gelded. And I noted back in October, Maureen Haggis said that this would be a type for the Lincoln. So they've obviously had this race in mind for this horse for a long time. And again, it's not much bigger than La Botte. So, I mean, he's 5-1 or something. So I just thought Eternal Force was worth following. Again, it'll be a very small bet for me. This race, although recently a lot of shorter price horses have been winning on it, it is very much draw dependent, and he hasn't got a great, well, two low draws have won it the last 2 years, but historically you need to be drawn middle to high, I think. And so I'm a little bit concerned about his draw stall because he might not be on the right side. So anyway, a small bet on Eternal Force.
Yeah, he's the other group horse in here, potentially. They're the two group horses that are sitting there at the top of the market, and the market does show it. Johnny Pearson, the one that's interesting, the one that's drawn possibly well high, is the Charlie Appleby runner, who I had a bit of an interest in with Toby Moore. He's obviously going to be popular throughout the flat season, being the son of the champion Ryan Moore. What did we make of this? I'm intrigued by Charlie Appleby actually sending one to the Lincoln at this time of the year.
They could often like to have a runner in the race. I wouldn't read too much into that myself. As you'd expect, it looks a tricky race. You've got a Randy in there who ran well in the race last year, as did Galleron, who I thought Graham Rodway might like, given two of his last three pieces of form. He's finished behind Treble T and Desperate Dan, who he's tipped up for the last two races. So I thought he might try to sort of go for all three of those there, but he didn't do that, unfortunately. I can see his case for James Owen horse, Diplomat. But I'm going to chance one at a bigger price here. Trained by someone who's had three winners from their last five runners in the last 2 weeks. And that is Michael Bell, and the horse is Greek Order. He ran pretty well. He started last season, ran actually very well first time out. He was behind My Cloud, who everyone was obviously raving about after that Ascot run, who ran well all season. Not first time all season, but after an 81-day when changing from America. And he's run pretty well from his first three starts, then sort of lost his way a bit, and then didn't run too badly on Champions Day at Ascot. And I can see him, they've gone for a visor over the pieces here. Michael Bell's got the horses running really well, 20+1. I think he's far too big a price and has a great chance on some of his pieces of form from last season, especially those first three runs where he's behind My Cloud, Classic and Roscolin. And yeah, too big a price, should run very well. I'd take a chance on him all day.
Yeah, and at the time of recording, Unibet has been well backed as well, Greek Order. They do fancy it. Jason Hart on board that one there. So keep an eye out for that runner. Plenty of shouts for the link, and do let us know down in the comment. Do you think La Botte is that group horse and a handicap who is just going to go and win this, or do you fancy one at a bigger price? Let us know. Right, we've got Kempton still to preview, gents, and we're going to get stuck into that shortly after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Graham Robway, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nixon spinning you through the ITV action this weekend. We now move to Kempton, gents, and we start off there with a Stayers Handicap. It's the Queen's Prize Handicap, part of the London Stayers Series qualifier. It's at 2808 there, and at the moment, looking at the market, Belgravian and Blinded by the Lights, 3-1 joint favourites, along with Anniversaries, also 3-1. And it's a bit of a gap to the rest. Brazil Power, 7-1. Spirit Mixer, 7-1. And then 10-1, double figures, the rest of the field. Graham Robway, there's two horses I really like in here, is Belgravian and Spirit Mixer, who are going to be ones that maybe they've got bigger targets in mind through the staying campaign throughout the season, maybe the Chester Cup for horses like that, especially Spirit Mixer. What did we make of these horses? And are there a few of these that are going to have bigger turf targets down the line away from the all-weather?
Yeah, definitely will be the case. You know, so Mark Prescott doesn't have many runners in March, even on the all-weather, and doesn't train many winners in March. So you would have thought Blinded by the Lights, who's got form with a lot of the best sort of staying handicaps last season, will probably be in need of the run. Belgravian will probably be fit because Balding's absolutely flying, isn't he? But I have had Anniversary in my tracker for Yonks since last year. He had form with the best three-year-old staying handicappers, Many Men, Merchant, who went on to win at Ascot, didn't he, I think? Was that the horse? Many Men again. At Doncaster, and he went off a hot favourite first time up at Lingfield for his return. He was a red hot favourite, but that race was very, very, very slowly run. They finished at 120-odd%, I think. The winner was Enemy, who just out-sprinted them, and Anniversary was poorly placed at the back of the field and had no chance of getting involved. I think you'll see a different Anniversary this time, and I think he's got by far the most upside to any horse in the race, and he's got Jack Dace on board claiming £5, and he's very good, Jack Dace, well worth his £5 claim. One of the best of the weekend, I think, Anniversary, 208 Kempton.
Yeah, I remember on the last podcast you were on, George, you actually mentioned this horse for that race and completely agree, slowly run race, and this horse is clearly well handicapped, £5 claimer on board. I think potentially a worthy favourite on the day. Johnny Pearson, any real opinion on this 208 at Kempton?
I am going to maintain that Align the Stars is a better horse than we saw all of last season, where he continued near enough underwhelmed on every run. His run at Haydock, where finishing fourth to the Reverend, not beaten far, was actually a pretty good effort. And it was disappointing Ben on his last two runs. But he's a better horse than we've seen. Callum Shepherd's got the ride. He's got a bit to prove. There's no denying that. But based on some of his form from two seasons ago, even, as I say, the piece before behind the Reverend, he should be able to have a chance in a race like this, especially if not all of them are fit. Okay, he's got to prove his fitness first time out. But it's not going to be a strong bet. But I'm still giving this horse another chance to prove that he can be what I think he has shown the potential to be at some points during his career.
Yeah, wouldn't be shocked to see a couple of big prices make the frame in a race like this, like I say, with some of these top horses going for bigger targets down the line, the turf. Ed Nixon, final opinion on this 208.
Yeah, Sam, interesting what you just said then, because that's my line of thinking. I've gone for a 20-1 shot here in Sheridan, trained by Ian Williams, donning the colours, or certainly David Egan will be donning the colours of the county hurdle winner, of a county hurdle winner owned by Connections. And I think Sheridan has a nice pull with Brazil Power for the last run at Wolverhampton 15 days ago. £4 for roughly four lengths. And if you like Brazil Power at 8s, you've got to probably like Sheridan at 20s because of that. Sheridan's also got a very good record at Kempton. Racing Post suggests that he's put up his best ever performance at that track. He's run four times at track, had a first, a second and a third. I love backing Ian Williams in these staying big handicaps. I think he targets these races with these sort of horses. Many, many times I've seen an Ian Williams 2 miler plus going in at double figure odds. And when you look back at the form, you can work out how he's been working it out. And this horse fits that. Maybe I'm kind of fitting it to suit my argument, but he's dropped down the weights again to be on his last winning handicap mark of 89, I think it is, isn't it? But he has been running off 90 and 91. So he's slowly come down. David Egan, fantastic jockey. I think there's a lot to like about him. And the final piece in the jigsaw, which I always say on the show, is the price. That's the final piece that I like. 20-1, I think, is a big price. So it will be an each way play, but I think Sheridan's an interesting big price option in, as you say, a race that could actually have a surprise.
Yeah, Sheridan 20-1. You've also got a line of stars for Johnny Pearson at 14s. I don't mind that at all. But Graham Robway, potentially one of the bets of the ITV card with anniversary for the Rafe Beckett stable. Right, the 242 at Kempton is the Rosebery handicap. This is over a mile, 3 furlongs, class 2 event. I find this an absolute minefield, to be honest, gents. I actually think it's possibly the most difficult race of the weekend. Respond is 130 favourite. El Burhan 9-2. Mahaba Gaiaf is 7-1. Gamrai is 8-1. Military Academy 17-2. Triple AA is 9-1. Double figures about the rest. Johnny Pearson, I don't know if you can help me out at all. I genuinely think this is a real tough puzzle to solve.
I am not going to help you out in the slightest here. I had looked through the race and thought I was better off sitting on my hands and just watching it as a bit of a watching brief. As a few in your own, I can see running well. A few I can see running better than they have recently. I didn't really fancy anything strongly. So, you know, we'll sit it out, watch it, enjoy it. Don't need to get involved.
Exactly. Plenty of racing on ITV this weekend. Don't need to get involved in every race at all. And like I said, this is such a tough race. Ed Nixon's looking at the camera as if he actually has a strong opinion on this race. I'm probably going to get that wrong. But what did you fancy, Ed?
No, I agree what you said. It's a really difficult race. We're going extra place, which kind of tells you a story. Again, I probably won't be having a bet in the race, but the horse I think that's most likely to win is the favourite Respond, which is not really saying anything nobody else could say. But I do like the way that I watched him after he won last time out, and the commentator alerted me to it, or the guy on the TV. He just took ages to pull up. which is unusual for a horse that tends to pull during a race as well. And he isn't a horse that you could trust. He's not a horse that will settle in front, but he's obviously a horse that's better than his handicap mark if everything goes his way. So would I like to be taking 3-1 on a horse like that? Probably not, but I think if things went his way, he'd win this race. So he'd be my selection, although I won't be having a bet in the race. Respond.
Yeah, Balding's in excellent form as well, Respond. And Jason Watson on board, who does ride Kempton extremely well. Graham Robway, last person. There's no strong opinion as of yet, and I can imagine you might be in the same boat.
No, I do. I have a strong opinion on this race.
Yes.
I think there's a plot job here, Sam.
Oh.
Military Academy is the horse. This horse was trained by John and Thady Gosden for quite a long time. And he had some very, very, very good form, including winning the listed floodlit stakes, I believe, around this track over a mile and a half in 2024. He's now switched yards. He's with Jane Chappell Higham. He was rated 112 at his peak. He's running off a mile of 105, so he's well handicapped. And he has got Alexander Egan on board, claiming £7. Now, I don't know a lot about Alexander Egan, but I presume that there is some sort of relation to the Egan family. Nevertheless, the record for the yard is one winner, one second, two thirds and a fourth, I think, from 10 rides for the Chappell Higham yard. And Egan has never ridden this horse before, this Military Academy. If it turns up and shows the form that it did for John and Thady Gosden at its peak, it will definitely win. And even last time out, it finished third in the Winter Derby at Lingfield, narrowly beaten behind Sky Safari and Chancellor, who I actually backed for the Doncaster Mile anti-post. And thought it was one of the bets of the week. Only see it not declared at declaration time today. I think that Winter Derby form's okay anyway. So, yeah, I'm quite strong on Military Academy for Alexandra Egan and Jane Chappell Higham. What a combination.
There you go. What a combination. And has form with a horse who is currently favourite for the race that we're now going to preview, which is the 3:13 at Kempton. It's the Snowdrop Filly Stakes, a listed contest over a mile. And Servi was the horse that finished ahead of Military Academy only a couple of starts back. So, yeah, Servi here for the George Bowie Yard is currently the 5-4 favourite with Unibet. Cathedral is going to be 11-4 in this. Glittering Surf, 8-1. Pina Sonata is 11-1. American Girl and Never Let Go, 12-1. 16s and bigger the rest of the field. And here we go again. This is the horse that I might end up doubling up with Docklands, to be honest, at the weekend. But I think Servi will go and win this. We're second to Aventura in a pre-corridor only a couple of years ago. Third to Whirl and Calpana in the Pretty Polly. And then third to Royal Champion and Fat Cheval in the Neon Turf only recently, where Royal Champion just looks an absolute monster. I see no world where Servi isn't going to go and just win this. Graham Robway, can we agree on this one?
I'm not going to knock you back here, Sam, because I really just don't know what's going to happen this race.
Okay.
I think it's a very difficult one. There's obviously group horses at the top of the market. And I'll be cheering you on, Sam.
Yeah, I'll be
with you in spirit.
Yeah, well, actually, Docklands would have run by then as well. So there you go. The double might be on, but you might not be too happy about it. Johnny Pearson, I feel like after we were having a chat in the office, you don't actually think Servi's going to win this.
I mean, Servi could win this. They all could.
Yeah, but I said you didn't think that she
No, you'd be absolutely correct to assume that, Sam, yes. I am going to go with David Egan and Cathedral, who she's always shown a lot of promise, but I thought she was very good in the Breeders' Cup. Okay, maybe the distance stretched her a bit. Not too sure, but I thought that was a good effort. Let's not forget, David Egan could be riding in the Brocklesby, but he's at Kempton rather than Doncaster. But, I mean, part of that might be the fact that they've also got a horse, Ammo have also got a horse called Sin City in the 428, which is a condition stakes Colton Geldings, which looks very much a horse to a race to follow going forwards. But no, back to this race, Cathedrals look pretty good, runs their race every time, second to Royal Ascot in the summer over a mile. Wasn't mean to, you know, it was a bit disappointing at Newmarket in October, but put a line through that happily without worrying too much about that. And I think Servi might be on the way out. My Cathedral's on the way in. And that's how we're going to see it. We're going to have a bet on her, take her on favourite, and hopefully come away with the winner.
And interesting that David Egan has gone here for the Ammo Racing ride as well. I know it's probably a better race than the Brocklesby, but he is here for that ride rather than at Doncaster. So there you go. Ed Nicholson, you're going to be the final opinion on the final race that we're looking at on the ITV card.
Yeah, Servi and Cathedral bring a very good level of form into this, rated in the 110s. Soprano won this race when rated 111. Obviously, it doesn't matter what they're rated because it's a listed race. But just to give you some idea, it's a good standard of this particular contest with those two in it. But they have been placed in quite a lot of good races. They haven't actually, once again, won a lot. I mean, Cathedral's only won once, although she's been placed in three Group 1s. Albeit fourth places. So I think probably one of them should win, but I'm with a number of runners in the race, I'm just going to take a bit of a leap of faith, and it has to be a leap of faith because on form, on what we've seen, my selection has no chance at all. But I still think there's plenty of improvement to come, and I'm going for All Moonshine down the bottom at 25-1, trained by Andrew Balding. We know the breeders like to have slow maturing middle distance horses that come to their best in 3 and 4 and sometimes 5. And this All Moonshine has won his last three, only 4 years of age. And every time she's impressed me. And in fact, her best performance was her last performance when Ashim Murphy kicked four lengths clear to win a handicap. She'd been pulled up a lot. She's only rated 87. So, I mean, you know, I shouldn't really be backing it because you can't win on ratings. But I think maybe talking about a plot race before with Graham, maybe this is just a kind of a plot for the Baldings to try to get some black type into a mare her mother only ran once. And perhaps it's a case of getting some black type into this pedigree. And I think she could just try to make it a test of stamina. And certainly with a few of these having their first runs of the season, could grab a place at big odds. So 25-1 for All Moonshine, who is, as we know, 3 out of 4 in her career, all on the all weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, All Moonshine then. Yeah, big price there for Ed. And last start over a mile was at Kempton and won. So there could be potentially one to make the way into the placings. So that's it for the ITV card. We're going to be getting any other selections and our best bets shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Here we are then, the final part of this week's racing postcast, the bit a lot of our viewers are hoping for, the best bets and winners, and hopefully we can deliver for them as well. Let's start off though, gents, with any other selections elsewhere. It's probably worth just quickly mentioning there is action in Dubai this weekend. Obviously, it's the World Cup night out there. A lot of people will be playing the Calandagan Ombudsman Forever Young Treble. I imagine that's going to be quite popular out in Dubai, but a lot of short price out there, but definitely worth tuning in to that card to see some of the top stars on show. But Johnny Pearce, and your horse to look out for this weekend isn't going to be in Dubai.
It's not, but they're just on top of Dubai. We've also got, you know, there's also the Arkansas Derby, the Florida Derby, there's Group 1 racing in Flemington and Rose Hill, where William Haggis has two runners, one of them being Dubai Honor, running against Vauban, an old favourite of everyone's as well, in one of the Group 1s out there. But no, we're going to go a bit close to home into the Curra, and it's in the 155. There's a horse called Demaniac for Martin Hassett, and Wayne Norden rides him again. Won on the start of the turf season in the Curra 2 weeks ago. Really impressively. He dropped back to 5 furlongs. Probably shouldn't be an issue here. He's fit. He handles heavy, soft and heavy ground. He should go well again. And he was actually pointed out in Ahead of the Handicapper, our new Handicapper's weekly column, which you can find on the Racing Post. And lots of the horses from that have gone on to win since, especially those on the all-weather. So it's worth keeping an eye on. And Holloway Queen was one of the horses we put up there. Obviously, one for Nicky Henderson at the Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that column as well. Yeah, he's a very informative column, as Johnny has mentioned there. And also, just quickly worth mentioning at the Curra, you've also got Albert Einstein running, which a few wouldn't have expected. But the talk horse for Aidan O'Brien, who's been well back for the 2,000 guineas, I think around 4-1 with Unibet currently, has been, you know, given an entry in the Gladness Stakes the weekend. So intrigued to see how that horse runs there. And Ryan Moore will be turning up at the Curra rather than Dubai, which might be a sign in itself. Right, gents, best bets of the weekend. Then who are the best bets for the weekend? And Graham Robway, I will start with you, and I'd imagine you're heading to Kempton.
Yeah, 208 Kempton anniversary. You're going to get paid out at last on this horse. Been following him for ages. This is his day, Sam.
This is his day. Anniversary for Graham Robway then. Johnny Pearson, your best bet is?
The best bet is going to be, well, we're going to chance one. We're going to chance Greek Order in the Lincoln. Why not go for the big one? Shoot for the stars.
Yeah, love it. Greek Order in the Lincoln, around 14-1 for Johnny Pearson. Ed Nicholson, who are you going to be with?
Yeah, 150 at Doncaster, the Camage Stakes, going for back-to-back victories with Spycatcher, who loves the course, goes very well fresh, and I think can make it 2 from 2 in this race.
Okay, yep, Spycatcher in the big sprint. I think we're all quite keen on that horse there. And I'm just going to probably wind a few up here, but I think the best horse running in Britain this weekend will be Docklands in the Doncaster Mile Stakes at 2:57. I think the horse will just go and win. So we'll wait and see who's right, who's wrong this weekend. But there are best bets on screen. Do head to unibet.co.uk for all of the information and boost there and all of the offers that Ed has mentioned throughout the show. Certainly worth checking them out. So that's it for this week's postcast. Big thanks to Graham Robway, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nicholson, as always. We're going to be back again next weekend. We're back into some jumps action, I believe, next weekend. The Grand National is not far away at all, so looking forward to hearing all of the gents' opinions then. But until then, do like, comment, share and subscribe. And as always, do remember to gamble responsibly. Enjoy the weekend.